Welcome to the Music Industry 360. You are tuned into the Music Industry 360 podcast, your full access pass to all things music business, from insider secrets to essential resources. We've got you covered. I'm your host, Randall Foster, Chief Creative Officer at Symphonic. With us today is Ariane Paris, who is from Olympia Coaching. She is a life and career coach and founder of Olympia Coaching. She comes to this with 15 years experience in the music business, having delivered workshops and spoken at various music conferences, including Future Music Forum, She Said So, and MuTech. In addition to all of the great life coaching and career coaching she does in the music industry, she's also traveled to 60 plus countries where she's backpacked, and I'm thoroughly jealous of her for that fact alone. I feel like I'm talking to like a female Anthony Bourdain here. We're going to call this episode Parts Unknown. Is that okay?
Perfect. Thanks for the introduction.
Wonderful. Well, it's lovely to have you here with us today. We're talking about some things today that I think are really interesting and are things that as an industry, we don't talk about a lot and we don't talk about nearly enough, you know, with regards to how our mindset and how the way we believe in ourselves and about what our mission is in life really do lend themselves to our ability to move through this industry, whether we're an artist or a label executive or a publishing executive, etc. So I'm very excited to talk about mindset and career changes, transition, entrepreneurial journey, etc., which I know is what you do best. But I really like to start and get to know our guests here from kind of where their origin stories are. And so as we discussed before, you were born in France. You're half French, half Greek. You are a woman of the world. You have been everywhere, and you're living in Barcelona now. Did I pronounce that right? So I'm just curious, how did you find your way into the music industry ahead of launching Olympia Coaching?
Yeah, so like I guess the most of us who have worked in the music industry, I'm absolutely passionate about music. I always knew I wanted to work in music since I was a teenager and buying all the records. And so that's what I did and moved to London to specifically because I knew I wanted to have a career in the music business, which I did. So I worked for a couple of labels back in the late 90s, 2000s. And then I moved to Barcelona and moved into the live space and became a booker for a huge venue, 5,000 capacity club. And I booked emerging artists and bigger acts in electronic music for a long time. And then, in parallel to that journey, I was also going through my own personal development journey and spiritual awakening. And of course, that was a big, big transformation for my life. Everything that I was learning was so impactful, and I thought everyone needs to know this, everyone needs to do this work. And so this is why I decided to then create Olympia Coaching to merge those two things I was so passionate about and help artists in a different capacity. Because as a booker, I was giving the chance to lots of artists to play in Barcelona for the first time, which was really fulfilling. But then I wanted to go to the next level and really help musicians and people in music to have the career that they want and to be happy and fulfilled and to reach their full potential.
Amazing. So as you were pivoting to your career in life coaching, you know, your LinkedIn says that you're a certified life coach. What does that mean? How does one, you know, I'm just thinking in terms of career trajectory for yourself, you know, going from a booking agent and moving into this new space, I think pretty uncharted probably when you moved into it, in all honesty. I wasn't aware of a whole lot of, you know, career and life coaches in the business until just a couple of years ago. So how did you go about that transition? And is there a governing body of life coaches? Is there a class you had to take, et cetera?
Yes. So coaching is not a regulated profession, which is why you have so many people in the world calling themselves coaches who don't have formal training. And the word coach in itself can mean so many things. However, the traditional role of the coach is not someone who gives you answers and tells you what to do, because that's what a lot of people think a coach is. Oh, just tell me what to do, which is absolutely not what a coach does. A coach is here to empower you to find your own answers and give you the support that you need to walk this journey. And the coach is there with you, working alongside you, and yes, giving you some guidance, however, not disempowering you by telling you what to do. So I want to make that clear, first of all. And yes, you're right. When I started this journey, when I Googled it back, so that was 7 years ago already, there was only a few people I could find online that were coaching musicians. So I was one of the first waves of people doing this. And so what I did was I trained with a coaching, it's called the Coaching Training Institute. It's like a coaching school, and went through my training in person here in Barcelona to learn the basics of like, what does it mean to coach someone? How do you go about coaching someone? And then of course, with practice, you know, with hours and hours and literally hundreds of hours coaching clients, this is how you hone your skills. And of course, with continuous development as well, and learning on my part by attending workshops and seminars and things like that to continue furthering my skills as a coach.
That's awesome. Now it's crazy, you know, unregulated lanes of business. Anybody can be anything they want to be in some of those. So knowing that there are formal education structures behind that definitely make you more bona fide, at least in my eyes. So I imagine as a coach, and this is just my assumptions here. Full disclosure, I've never had a life coach. I've had a therapist, never a life coach. I imagine you ask a lot more questions than you answer.
Exactly. The whole coaching process is asking questions to our clients, to my clients, to help them, first of all, get super clear on what they want, like what are their goals in their music career, what is their vision, what is the purpose, what is the why. So getting to the foundations of why they're in music in the first place, what is really important to them in their life to feel fulfilled and happy. So it's a lot of self-knowledge and a lot of clarity about where you are and where you want to go and what is the direction that you want to go in your music career. Because quite often people come to me feeling a little bit lost about their direction. So it's asking question, and then depending on my client's needs, because all of my coaching is bespoke, then we work on the specific topics that they need help with. And again, this is done through a series of questionings. So let's say we work on the topic of helping my client becoming more confident, then I'm going to ask my client lots of questions so that they can recognize themselves, so that they can take stock of their strengths, their quality, their skills, the journey that they have traveled, who they had to be in order to get to where they are today. So it's like doing this self-reflection that most of us don't really take the time to do. And so it's having someone to ask you those questions and reflect back to you some things that they see in you and some things that you say, because it's like that mirror thing, because we really get to know who we are when we have a mirror. And that's reflecting back to us who we are. So it's lots of questions. And then, of course, it's not just talking about things. There's, of course, then a very practical element of then getting clear on action steps and taking action and getting committed and accountable to those action steps so that you can move forward. So it's both self-knowledge through the questions and the answers. It's finding your own way forward, because I truly, truly believe that you know best what's right for you. Sometimes when we feel lost, we feel like, oh, someone else needs to tell me exactly what to do. But whatever someone else says may not be what's best for you, because they're not you. They don't have the same purpose as you, and they don't have the same priorities as you. So you know best what's best for you. And this is the role of the coach to help you figure that out.
Fascinating. The it's interesting because my best mentors in my life have always asked me questions that I already knew the answers to, but they've just forced me to speak it, the truth, you know? Yeah. So how does the structure work? Like if we get into a life coaching relationship here, I assume it's not a short-term engagement. I assume this is a long-term situation, right? To, you know, recognize the problem or recognize the goal that's maybe not been recognized yet and then work towards steps to achieve it. What are most of your coaching engagements look like as far as, like, is it a set period of time? Is it a once a week meeting? What's that look like?
Yeah, so like you said, it is a longer term engagement because this is deep inner work. This is not about, hey, do this, do that, right? Like, this is deep inner work and this is definitely a process. So I like to work with people during 6 months. But my offers are constantly evolving, so I may have a 3-month package as well, depending on how we coach. And at the beginning, we just set the foundations for what is it that my client wants to achieve, what is it that they're struggling with, and we take it from there. So there's, you know, an initial questionnaire for people to fill in, so we can dive right in. And then we meet typically once every 2 weeks if it's a Zoom call. Also coach, this is a new way of coaching that's taking off in the coaching industry, which is coaching via messaging. So via an app where it's asynchronous. But the great thing about that is that first of all, you have ongoing access to me. So anytime you want to reach out, you have me in your back pocket. And that doesn't mean that I'm accessible during 8 hours every day, but a few times a day I check in. And then you always have someone there that you can talk to, and it's done asynchronously. So it really fits super well with your other engagements and priorities in your life.
Very cool. So what percentage of your coaching candidates, the people you're working with, what percentage would you say are artists versus executives?
I'd say it's more like maybe 75% artists and 25% music executives.
Okay. Let's talk through some of the topics that we were discussing earlier, specifically, and I think the order of topic here is actually really great. And so I hope our audience agrees. But the importance of mindset, and I think personally speaking, I have encountered this in my career multiple times where I've come to a situation in a poor frame of mind, or I've gotten to a point where my current situation puts me in such a nasty frame of mind that it actually becomes quite counterintuitive, and I end up working against myself. So let's talk about that. So how does mindset impact, you know, the ability of the artist to perform, the ability of the executive to perform and do what they need to do?
Yeah. So mindset truly is at the root of everything else, because how we think, what we believe in, how we feel, absolutely will inform the actions we are taking or not taking. And of course, the actions we are taking or not taking then creates the results in your life and career. So this is why it's so important to go to the root of, like, what's going on inside of me? What are my beliefs? Because like you said, it's, you know, like common to all human beings, we do self-sabotage because we have some beliefs that are limiting what we think is possible for us. We have some negative thoughts, which, you know, when you repeat to yourself like unhelpful things throughout the day, which is something that we're great at. I'm great at it, right? Like I'm great at like being hard on myself and beating myself up. So thank God, this is why I became a coach, you know, to gain all the tools and to use those tools, because when you do that and you take action, then like it's like having one foot on the brakes and one foot on the accelerator. You're trying to achieve something, but at the same time, you have thoughts and feelings that are not helpful, because everything is energy in this universe. So those thoughts have a real impact on the results that you have and your energy, that how you show up as well. So
absolutely. So do you dive into true purpose as well?
So it's, yeah, like, as I said, knowing why you have this goal, knowing why you are a musician, knowing what your deeper purpose is also a great way to stay motivated, to stay on track when things feel hard. It's like your guiding light. And a purpose is typically something that is bigger than yourself. There's reasons why, there's like the more individual reasons why you want to achieve certain goals, but then there's the bigger purpose, something that goes beyond you. And this is the true driving force. And it helps you stay on track.
Awesome. So career changes and transitions are next on our topic list here. I don't imagine these really apply much to artists, or do they?
Yeah, so this is more for the music executives. With some of my past clients, I've had lots of people who were unsatisfied with their current role because they weren't growing or they weren't getting recognized. They felt they weren't truly working at their potential. So I've had some of those clients, for example, go independent. I've had a client set up their own record label. I've had a client set up their own management agency. I've had someone go freelance with their PR projects. So it's typically more for the music executives that find themselves in this transition period, or maybe they want to change their careers more radically, maybe exit the music industry and do something different with their lives, but they're not sure how to move forward because so much of their identity is mixed with their current role in the music industry.
So, you know, so with those changes, obviously comes the entrepreneurial journey and working through those steps. Is that something that is often part of the transition for your clients, or is that just one direction in which they go where they've got the option to do that, or to stay the course and change their own actions to move up within their organization?
Yeah, it's everything depending on the scenario. So not all of them go the entrepreneurial way. But what's interesting about the entrepreneurial journey is that it does not just apply to those scenarios of like, I have a career and now go independently. It actually applies to everyone. It applies to artists. It applies to music producers because actually, and I'm sure other people talk about this, artists in this day and age absolutely have to see themselves as music entrepreneurs, because they are. Because most independent artists are wearing all the hats, right? And in 2024, we all know it's not enough to just create and play music, right? Like, as an independent artist, you have to do the marketing, you have to do the, like, literally manage all aspects of your career until you have enough income to then have a team to offload some of those tasks. And as, let's say, a music producer and you're selling your services to other artists, then you're also a music entrepreneur. So the entrepreneurial journey is definitely, I mean, personally, it's been the biggest journey of my life, not just in terms of career, but in terms of personal growth as well. It's an incredible journey that comes with a lot of challenges, a lot of, you know, having to go out of your comfort zone, facing all your fears, because all your stuff is going to come up when you're on this journey, and stretching and truly stepping into a new version of yourself again and again and again and again. So it's fascinating, and I love helping people with that as well, because there's a lot of mindset stuff that comes with being able to navigate this journey in the best way possible.
Yeah, well, and obviously, when you transitioned yourself, then you were on that entrepreneurial journey. Let's talk about the artist thing for a little bit. So this is this is really interesting, viewing the artist as entrepreneur, and I can't agree more. You know, I speak to lots of artists all the time, and often the remarks I get are like, "Ah, man, how do I do all of this? How am I supposed to be an expert at short form video and an expert at socials and an expert at music marketing and all these things?" And it was interesting on the mindset piece, because I had a friend recently who did a kind of a short form video talking about the changes in how artists market themselves these days, and talking about the phrase, "I have to get onto socials. I have to create posts for socials to grow my audience. And my friend was really had really made me think, and I've said this a couple of times since then, but he said artists, he said you get to utilize socials.
Yeah.
You don't have to use them.
Yeah.
You get to utilize them. And he's coming at it from the perspective of a guy who was in a band trying to break in the 90s. Well, we didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
And all we had was playing shows and standing on the sidewalk with CDs and hoping somebody would take your CD and listen to you. And all of these tools are available today. And I know it's like you can't see the forest for the trees. It's overwhelming. But how much mindset comes into play there on that entrepreneurial journey is incredible to me, because I work with artists that collapse under the pressure.
Yeah.
But I also work with artists who kind of come into their own renaissance and who become experts at all of these things, and or they become good at having friends who are experts who are part of the journey with them. And it's all mindset. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And let's first recognize the fact that, yes, it is overwhelming. Yes, there's a lot to do. Yes, there's a lot to learn, and you have to wear all of the hats, and it can be exhausting. And that's a reality. Let's just accept the fact that this is a journey that's not for the faint of heart. And just the fact that you are on this journey says so much about you already, because a lot of people would not be able to do that, right? So let's just acknowledge that. And like you said, so much of it is mindset. And what you said about the I have to, this is an example of a very easy mindset tip that I can give people. So the inner dialogue that you have to with yourself, so when you say I have to do this, this is the inner dialogue, absolutely will impact, again, your actions and your result. Because check it, like when you say I have to be on social media, like how does it feel in your body? I know that for me, it feels like constrictive. It feels like, oh my God, it's like an obligation. I don't want to do it. But with a simple change of word of saying, I get to be on social media. It's like, wow. Suddenly I'm into a feeling of gratitude, of I'm feeling more relaxed in my body. I feel more motivated to do it because, as you said, no one's forcing us to do anything. We just get to, or I choose to. And I choose to, it's like, I'm taking ownership. No one's forcing me to do it. I'm choosing to do this. And I'm doing this for a reason. And so, yeah, so much of it is mindset. So much of it.
Well, and the gratitude thing is so interesting. You know, and I have found with myself that as I've personally looked internally at my core mission, at the things that drive me, at the things that make my heart beat, entering into as many of my interactions as possible with colleagues, friends, artists, labels, you name it. The gratitude is a major driver. And I have found that karma is also very real. And that when you exist in a state of gratitude and not stupid elated happiness all the time, we're not all going to be happy all the time, but gratitude and that I get to come to work every day and work with independent artists and labels. And I love it. I've worked in various lanes in the music industry prior to this, where I worked with way bigger artists and way bigger entities that, you know, earned millions on millions on millions on millions. And I've found so much satisfaction in the artists that I can take from 20,000 monthly listeners to 250,000 monthly listeners. Mm-hmm. And like, is that prime time? Standing in the center of the stage at Madison Square Garden? No. But at the same time, you know, what's the definition of success? And does that definition, you know, define you? And I think for most artists, especially listeners to this podcast, I think the goal is just to be sustainable. Mm-hmm. It's to do the craft they love and do it their whole life and not have to put on a suit and tie. You know, and I think it's so valuable to keep that, you know, the viewpoint.
Yes. And I love what you said, like gratitude absolutely is a game changer. And defining success for yourself is very important as well, because we all want different things. Although at the end of the day, we all want to be happy and fulfilled, right? Like we all want the same thing, but we go about it in different ways. And like you said, just the fact that you're an independent artist, you're already making some sort of income from your music, and you get to grow that, and you get to focus on your music career to whatever extent you are doing that right now, this is already success. Like, how amazing is it that we get to do the things we love? For you, Randall, as you were speaking, I could hear your deep purpose for wanting to help musicians. Like, I share that purpose, like this deep purpose of like really wanting to help these independent musicians, and that is very fulfilling. And if you take the bigger lens, how many of us in the world get to work on something that is purposeful and fulfilling, and gives us this sense of joy, even though it's also challenging? Very few people in the world, because the vast majority of people in the world, because I'm saying this because we live in very privileged countries, the vast majority of people in the world are just out there literally trying to survive. Yeah. So it's also like realizing that we are already successful because we are actually doing something that we love. It doesn't mean that the journey is easy. It doesn't mean that we're not going to face challenges, because this journey as well is going to be our biggest growth journey. So the journey in itself is more important than the actual destination. We all think we want to get to the destination, but what really matters is the journey and who we become on this journey.
Well, and the destination in purposeful growth is Mount Everest, and it's hard to climb Mount Everest. And I think that's a really good distinction from the status quo of existence to that. There's a percentage I was just feverishly Googling while we were speaking here, and a study showed that 79% of the people in the world are either fully emotionally detached from their work or are downright miserable. And 21% of us get to feel engaged in the work we're doing. And I feel fortunate every morning to get up and get to come and do the things I do with the people I do it with, which is so much fun. And I think for artists, the idea of them getting up every day and getting to do what they love, even though it's a slog, I think is very cool. We have an artist that we work with here called No Suits, that we work with on the sync side specifically, but I think a little bit on the distribution side. And they named their band No Suits because they didn't want to wear suits. They didn't want to have to put a suit and tie on and go to work. Mm-hmm. And I always thought it was the coolest, like the wittiest little name, right? It made a lot of sense. We are running short on time, but there's so much good stuff here, and there's so much more stuff I want to talk about. But what I really want to talk about, and this is something that I've talked about a lot with my clients and with my colleagues, because I've suffered from it in my career. I can back up to 2019 and the day that I launched Symphonic Nashville, and that it was just me in a glass box over at WeWork, and I was sitting there looking at a laptop and looking at this vast world of music where my only charge was make it profitable. My only charge was just make it work, and make it work, grow the publishing company, you know, grow our creative footprint, create a footprint in Nashville. And my gosh, it was overwhelming, but it was also so inspiring. But I'd be lying if I said I didn't have imposter syndrome. And in that moment, in that time, and I, you know, from time to time, I still get a tinge of it. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, I think believing in yourself, and your music in particular is so important. And, you know, I think that people that believe in themselves are easy to believe in. And when we talk about audience or colleagues or, you know, new companies, et cetera, how do you approach that? Because I know that's another part of that Mount Everest that's tough to climb.
Yeah. So with imposter syndrome, the first thing to know is that pretty much all of us suffer from it from time to time. And in fact, in creative industries, I think the percentage is like 87% of people in creative industries experience the imposter syndrome. So just knowing that we all feeling it sometimes can be reassuring, and also to realize that just because you're new at something or you're developing new skills or something feels a bit hard, doesn't mean that you're an imposter. So the imposter syndrome is like a feeling, but it's not a fact, right? Like it's got nothing to do with like what you can or cannot do. And it makes sense when you start a new project, a new business, it makes sense that at the beginning you're going to feel a little bit like this. And so confidence, yeah, it's again, confidence is an inner game. It's something that you create from the inside. And like you said, especially for artists, if you want to sell yourself to potential managers, agents, whatever it may be, you absolutely need to believe in yourself because you need to enroll them in your vision and you need to present yourself confidently so they can buy into this vision. And when you promote your music and your shows, you also need to be confident, right? Like you need to stand by, like behind those things in order for people to want to go to your shows and buy your music, etc. And it's something that you build from the inside. So you do this through, like what I shared before, like some self-reflection of getting super clear and acknowledging your qualities, your strengths, everything that you had to achieve to get to where you are now. It's also developed through specific tools and practices. One that's really easy to do that I love sharing with my clients, and I have it myself, is to keep, I call it a praise file. You can organize it in a database and make it like very structured, but it's essentially collecting all the positive feedback you may have from your music, any like positive comments you get, or maybe someone DMing you, telling you how this particular song changed their life. So keeping all of that to give your brain evidence that you are good enough, that you're meant to do this, because our brain or inner critic is typically very strong and we don't take the time to actually collect the positive evidence and to really feel into that. So having this praise file to look at whenever you need a boost can be helpful.
I feel like I'm going to go create one of those right now.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. And it's kind of like giving your brain real evidence, because these are things people have said and we're quick to forget that, or we keep quick to not take it in and dismiss it. So it's like using, like as I said, different tools and practices to build your confidence. And it's also then taking action, because confidence comes with this clarity, understanding who you are, having different tools and practices to build this muscle, and then taking action. Because the more you put yourself out there, the more you take action, then you are building this confidence because you are doing it and showing yourself that you are doing it. That makes sense.
Very cool. And I think it's important to point out the distinction between confidence and positivity and perfectionism, which can at times be a hindrance on our creativity. And I deal with artists all the time. I'm just trying to get the song right. I'm like, you got to get it good enough, man. Like, no, I don't think I've ever met a producer in my life who thinks that they're finished.
Yeah.
At some point you run out of the studio hours you rented, or you run out of the out of the time to keep at it. And I think that, you know, overcoming those fears and perfectionism are an important tool as well, don't you?
That's a big thing as well, because it's totally getting in your way of finishing a song or even sharing a song. Like how many songs are buried in someone's hard drive, you know, and they don't see the light of the day because you think it's not good enough. But again, like, first of all, like, how do you define good enough? It's not something you can quantify. It's more of a feeling. And you will learn more by finishing a song, by putting it out, by learning from it. So you learn from, first of all, you're teaching yourself that you are someone who finishes songs, which I think is a really important muscle to build as a producer and as a musician. And then as you put it out, you learn from it. You learn, you maybe hear feedback. You also create momentum because you are in action. You are finishing songs. You are sharing them. And that will take you further than just you waiting for the perfect song and procrastinating and hiding because you think it's not good enough.
Absolutely. Well, I hate to do this, but we're out of time. I think you and I could go for another hour if we needed to. But everyone, what an incredible eye-opening discussion we've had today. And I think if there's a takeaway from this, if there's one takeaway from this that you would like to leave the audience with, what would that be? The one nugget of perfection that they need. Perfection. There I go using that word again. That you would like everybody to take away with them. And move forward with.
Yeah, the takeaway I want to leave everyone with is I invite you to start doing this inner work if you haven't already, because your personal transformation is the biggest thing that's going to lead to things changing in your career, in your life. It really comes from within, and your personal transformation will lead you to these external results that you are trying to achieve.
I love it. And mindset, people. Mindset is everything. You're going to wake up and decide you're going to have a bad day. Guess what? You're going to have a bad day.
Yeah.
If you wake up and say, this is going to be a great day, I'm not going to let the bastards get me down. Guess what? You're going to be all right. So Ariane, thank you for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, if we had an audience, I'd say, can I get a round of applause for Ariane with Olympia Coaching? How does our audience find you? I assume you're on the World Wide Web somewhere.
Yes, everyone, if you resonated with what we shared today and you want to go deeper, definitely check out my website, olympiacoaching.com. I've got some free resources there to help you feel more confident, to help you stop procrastinating. I also have a newsletter that I invite you to subscribe to, because I share lots of really great tangible tips. I'm preparing content right now to talk about what artist managers are looking for when they sign an artist. So I like to share insider tips and, of course, everything mindset, etc. And yeah, check out also my coaching programs, and I offer free consultations if you want to ask me questions about how we can work together.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing. To our listeners, and to especially our viewers on YouTube, that'll be in the comments section of the YouTube video. So go down there, give that a click, go check her out. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Music Industry 360. I'm Randall Foster, your steadfast host, and I'm so glad to have you here today. And please tune in for our next episode.